If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, color analyst for all Saints football games, and also does a lot of stuff all in between throughout the season. Deuce McAllister. Deuce, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
No problem. How you gentlemen doing?
Doing great. Deuce, before we get into Saints talk, I told this to Charlie yesterday. Man, I'm doing the back end of the show, and I take a look up, and I see the televisions are on in studio, and I see your son Curtis and KB Brewer going up against the defensive backs. And so we go to break. I told Charlie, I don't know what country they has, offensive, defensive line-wise, but them poor defensive backs, they got some big-time problems.
Good luck.
I bet, because what Curtis is, 6'3 and a half, somewhere in that range, and KB's a little taller than he is.
Yeah, KB is probably going to be closer to 6'6". Curtis is probably closer to 6'4 and a half. You got, just depending on whether your shoes are on, no shoes, but they have some skill players. I'll put it that way. And you talk about basketball on grass. That's really truly what it becomes. And I mean, I think it was last year. Even Calvary Baptist up there, I think scores like 60-40. I mean, and you had multiple games where it's 55-48, just because one, they want to play fast, and then you've got decisions to make on the outside. You know, whether you're going to put them in single coverage or whether you're going to, be able to double one or the other. And so it's fun to watch. And so, you know, you just be able to go out there and watch it and try to enjoy it. And, you know, as they prepare for the upcoming football season, you still have the summer basketball going on. So it's taxing on the body. And so just try to manage it as best as possible and just try to enjoy it. That's what it's about.
I told Charlie, as I always tell him, good ruck. If you figuring on covering them guys one-on-one downfield, man, and even if you bracket one, you know, the other one, he's single downfield. Now, KB, he's also, you know, we understand with Curtis and your son, but KB's also got some genetics in him too.
Oh, yeah, his dad, you know, obviously played in the NBA, first rounder, one of the first players to be able to not only win a basketball college, I think that they won twice at Florida, but then to be able to do it in the NBA as well. And so Corey, you know, he's one of the former Pelican coaches, and you know, just to have his genes being able to do what Corey was able to do. And I know he's done some stuff with the Big Three here as well, and you know, to have that to be able to lean on as you make that journey and transition on where you want to go from a college prospect and, you know, what's the best fit for you. And then for my son, Curtis, just to be able to lean on and to have those conversations as well. I mean, it's truly a blessing.
No question about it, Deuce. And we wish you and Curtis all the luck and just stay healthy. That's what I always tell athletes. Hey, man, just stay healthy because injuries are fickle in this world about certain things. Deuce, I'll ask you, were you surprised? Because we haven't seen it. Alvin Kamara all of a sudden kind of blinks in and shows up for the OTA sessions and playing a little bit of maybe football chess here with the Saints at this stage.
Well, here's what's interesting, though, Mike. Here's what's interesting. In all of the everything that has happened, There's been words, but I don't know if we have truly heard, I don't want to call it leaks in a sense. You've heard, you know, some agents speak, and you've heard the team be diplomatic about it. But once the maneuver was made with the contract, if either side wanted to really push, they could have done so by now. You know, if you're being honest. And so I understand maybe the team coming to him and say, hey, we want you to take a cut but if you're going to do that, why wouldn't you have not done that already? That's my question.
I agree with you. I agree with you totally.
No, but I'm just saying, you know, if you're going to do that and going to truly respect me as the player and you know, the things that I've done not only for this team but the community, maybe my numbers haven't been what they typically are, particularly last year. Maybe there are some requirements that you want me to meet. I don't know, you know, and so, like, a lot of those conversations we aren't privy to, we aren't having. But if it's truly to that point, and that's how you feel about me, I would have hoped that if that's what you want me to do as a player, is to take a cut, then don't do it in June or July. Because at that point, we all know that what money is available. There's money available out there. Any team can be creative. But at the end of the day, you know, I think probably both sides maybe are at fault a little. Because this shouldn't even be a story. This shouldn't even be something that we're talking about in June. I'll put it that way. And so it's unfortunate that we are, but hopefully there is an answer where both sides are at least pleased. I don't know if either side will be happy, if that makes sense, but both sides are pleased where you can go out there and this is not a question and you can just go play ball.
Deuce, I agree with you totally. This shouldn't have come this far with everything. But, you know, there's always a reason one way or another. And, you know, that's a money issue. And nobody likes to have their money touched one way or another. But one of the things with Alvin on the field, and he has not worked behind the five blocks of granite as a running back, but where I still think he can be effective in this league is as a receiver coming out of the backfield, where I think he can still really excel in that area. I don't know if you put him in the slot or you put him in motion and get the ball out to him quick and let him get downfield, but there's a deal there. Okay, he's worked in tandems before, and he brought it up yesterday that when he first came in, he was the number three guy. People forget Adrian Peterson was on that team with him and Mark Ingram and with Latavius Murray and with other guys, that I think that there is a role for him in the NFL. If it's with the Saints, we'll see what happens. But I think where he's still very effective is the ability to catch the ball out in the flat.
You're preaching to the choir. you're preaching to the choir when it comes to that. I think what you have to be able to do, what it ultimately comes down, you know, and this is me. This is me looking at it, and from a player's perspective and or a coaching staff's perspective. If it's me, we know it starts with the quarterback. What helps my quarterback to, one, be comfortable and he can go out there and operate and not be jitterish, not be afraid, and he has the answers to the test? Well, one, we know good players help, right? We know that helps. All right, so we can say yes, Alvin is still a good player. Now, is he still maybe elite? You know, in some areas, yes. Overall, maybe not so. But he's still a very, very good player. So we know that. So it comes down to, is it a snap count issue? Is it a usage issue? Or, you know, is it ultimately a health issue? I mean, if you're going to throw everything in there. And so I think it becomes, one, can we use him? Yes. Is he going to be available? Yes, I think he will be available. Will we be able to have multiple guys that he plays with? He's done it before, so we don't think that will be an issue. You can't say that you have cap issues because you've carried him this far. And that's what I meant by, if he was going to take a pay cut, then you do it back in March, April, and you go from there. If you can't agree to it, then, you know, you make the move. But at this point, what makes my quarterback better? Is there somebody else out on the market that can come close or even halfway that you're going to get as far as lost production? If you can't answer that, you know, honestly and truly, then you make it work. And then you figure out, how can I use him in multiple different ways, but why I still, you know, whether he's running back, whether he's a hybrid, whatever that may be, you make it work.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
Deuce, one of the things I remember, it was the week after the Rams came out in 13 personnel, three tight ends. You and I talking about that. You and I had both seen 13 personnel before, but it was really to help run the ball. You know, you had multiple tight ends, and you were running the football. It wasn't about catching the ball. And the Rams did it because of the fact they had two receivers, but that was it. You know, end of story. I'll tell you the story that happened yesterday. I bring this up to Greg Beecham, who covers the Rams for the Associated Press. And, you know, he told the story. You and I had sort of figured it out. It was because of injuries. And also, too, it opened up, okay, what am I going to do defensively now? I can't go smaller because then they're going to run the football. And then is my 5'10" corner going to cover a 6'6" tight end that can catch the ball? Sometimes beat reporters are told something and say, hey, this is not to be repeated. Beecham tells me yesterday when I said, man, you'll see a lot more 12, 13 personnel than ever before now because of what the Rams did last year. And he was like, yeah. He said, wouldn't shock me. You see 14 personnel. They drafted a tight end in Max Clair early in the draft, and now they got four. I thought about you because, man, I know what Max Clair does best. I watched him at Purdue. He had that final season at Ohio State. He's a 6'5.5+ receiving tight end. That already the wheels are clicking with McVay about, I see how defenses really didn't react good to this. Now, what if I put four tight ends out there?
Yeah, and so now how do you counter that? Do I go 4-3? But here's the other thing now. I automatically take one of my corners off, and I'm going to have a safety. But now that's where you better be really, really good with your safeties that can corner. That can cover. And so it's a game of matchups. It's a game of matchups. It's a game of strategy and chess. And so here for me, if I've got a true 13 personnel package that I can go out there and run, now I want to say, okay, how are you going to react to a speed receiver? It used to be for the Saints, it was Shaheed, but now you can go with Chris Olave. Maybe, you know, it's Tyson as you use as that single receiver. So are you going to put a cover corner out there, or are you going just to put a corner that likes to tackle? Because if my receiver is willing to block, now I'm running right at that corner. I'm not going to block him. If he is a cover corner, he's going to have to come up and tackle. And my back knows you got to make a guy miss. He's unblocked. I don't want him to be at the point of attack, but he is unblocked. We will block it. Everything else up. You set it up where it's one-on-one with that corner. At some point, you've got to make a guy miss, and you've got to be able to take it 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever it is, but you got to cash in at some point. And so it becomes a game of matchups. It becomes a game of strategy, and at some point, my guy has to be able to win his one-on-one.
Deuce, I think once Alante Taylor ended up signing that big contract with the Tennessee Titans in the offseason, the star position on Brandon Staley's defense was one of those big holes that we were going to be watching throughout the offseason. And obviously, it's not going to be determined until late in training camp and once we get down the stretch here. But the first couple of OTAs that we were able to go check out, Jonas Sanker, the rookie safety entering his second year at the NFL level, former third-round pick, was the one that was manning that spot. And, you know, I think it's interesting because Jonas has got a pretty unique background. He played some eight-man football. We talked with Scott Shanley about this because Scott played eight-man football as well. And he talked about in that spot, there's so much open field tackling that's asked of defenders in eight-man football. And that's one of the things that Jonas did really well in college. Mike and I talked about him as a prospect entering the draft that year. It's not just his versatility on the back end of a secondary, is that he can also tackle well. And that's a major aspect of playing in the star position, not just the fact that your coverage responsibilities as well, but you have to be able to tackle. So Jonas Sanker getting the first shot at it. It's obviously still probably going to be up for debate who's going to end up replacing Alante Taylor. But your thoughts on Jonas and how the Saints have enough trust in him to at least give him a shot at it early on?
Yeah, you're not surprised. I mean, because when you look at the profile of what you expect or what you think he can be, he fits that position. And so I think, you know, just to be able to get your feet wet in the NFL prior to now, you're moving to a new position. But at the same time, you know, it's the angles and understanding what teams are doing to you. I would still call it, quote unquote, big nickel for me, particularly if he's a true safety. And at some point, you know, if it's a true passing down, third and seven, third and eight, then I'm probably going with a corner in that position. Now, you know, do they have that guy? We'll see. But in base nickel defense, that's what they've chosen to do. And so, you know, it's no different than the Saints using really Chauncey Gardner in that position, or even going back further. What's my safety name? Mike from Texas that we had forever. Ended up, I think he signed with Tennessee at some point.
Vaccaro?
Kenny Vaccaro?
Kenny Vaccaro. I mean, yeah. It's similar to that in that situation. And so he's got to be versatile enough that he can not only cover the flat, but if I have a receiver that takes me vertical, how far can I carry him? You know, can I go 10 yards? Can I go 15 yards with him? And it's not an immediate completion for the quarterback. Those are all things that when you talk about that star position, it's a guy that has to obviously be able to tackle in space, but he's got to be able to carry receivers as well, particularly, you know, when it's regular down and distance, but you want to get that extra athletic guy in the slot on the field.
Deuce, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate when you come on. Hey, I got to tell you, I don't know if you saw it or not, but Trinidad's coming to the Manning Passing Academy.
Ooh.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, Chambliss is coming to the Manning Passing Academy.
I think we got an interview there, Mike.
Yeah, I think I do.
Hey, well, you know, he's granted the opportunity to play, so it's going to be an intriguing and exciting season for him, no doubt.
Well, good luck to the defenses is all I can tell you, because, man, you talk about a dude who's an ultimate playmaker. He is that, because he can buy time with his feet like very few guys can, and he's so accurate throwing the ball on the move. A lot of times guys can move around, but they can't throw the football well on the move. You watch Chambliss, and you kind of got that lump in the throat if you coach on the other side, because, man, he is really accurate when he's kind of forced to move around in the pocket. Other guys, they sort of wet the diaper when that happens. Not him. He's really good at it.
I appreciate it, fellas. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Deuce.
All righty. Thank you, Deuce. Deuce McAllister, color analyst here for the WWL radio team, covering the Saints and all with us throughout the year.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.